How great is our God. I wonder how many of us can say that about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit. How great is He? I wonder if you can say that, if that is where you are today in your faith journey. I wonder how you got to this point, and maybe more importantly, where you started. How did you come to faith? I was brought up in a Christian family, but I didn't make a personal commitment until I went off to university, and at that point, I started to wonder whether I actually believed what my parents believed. And it was during my first Easter holiday when I came home that somebody invited me to go to a Nicky Cruz kind of evening. He's a great evangelist. And it was at that meeting that God met me. I wonder who else came to faith because a friend invited them to go somewhere with them or to come somewhere where they were going. Just raise your hand. I know I can't see you guys at home, but you can still do this at home. Raise your hand if you came to faith because somebody invited you. Yeah? Brilliant. And how many of us came to faith because of a youth group that we went to or another church activity that we were a part of? Raise your hands if that's how you came to faith. That is absolutely amazing. Did anybody come to faith because God met them one-to-one in a dream? One person. Three. Generally, it sounds like an auction, doesn't it? Any high? No, that's not where we're going today. Generally speaking, whilst God can meet us directly in a dream, or like the Apostle Paul, knock us down on the road to Damascus or wherever we might be traveling, maybe to Bitter, God sometimes, why not? What's wrong with the road to Bitten? Why would God not meet someone on that road? But that's not in my notes at all. Generally speaking, whilst God can meet us one-to-one, He chooses to meet us because other people are involved. He generally chooses to meet us through others. So we're going to pause just for a moment. I'm going to get you to bend your heads down. And I want you to give thanks to God for the person that introduced you first, invested something in you to bring you to the point of faith. Let's just pause and remember and say thank you to God for that person. Amen. It's good to remember. The American pastor, Rick Warren, says there are three things you can do with your life. You can waste it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. And this morning, we're going to look at a story that Jesus told, which is really challenging, because in it, he's asking the question, how are you investing your life? So in a few moments, we're going to look at Matthew 25, starting at verse 15. So if you've got a Bible with you, or you've got a Bible on your phone or tablet or whatever, you might want to be looking that up. If you look at the story, you might find that it's got a heading. You might find that it's headed up as being the parable, which just means a story Jesus told to illustrate a point, a parable of the bags of gold. Or maybe it's called the parable of talents, Or maybe it's called A Story of Three Servants, or A Story About Investment, or maybe it's got another heading that I didn't discover when I was preparing for this morning. And if we look very quickly at the stories above, the ones that come before Matthew 25, verse 14, and the ones that come after, we'll know that there's a series of stories that Jesus told, encouraging us to be ready for when he's going to return. Our faith in Jesus is secured by what Jesus did on the cross. He cleared the debt of sin, and that is what we call salvation. But the Bible is really clear. There is a day coming when we will need to give Jesus an account of our lives. And we're going to be rewarded for how we have invested here on earth. And the today's story calls us to remember this. And it's about a man who's about to go on a long journey. And it was not uncommon in Jesus's day, if a master was going to go on a journey, he would call his servants and say, "Will you look after the place while I'm gone? Will you look after my business? Will you look after my estate? Will you look after everything while I'm absent?" And as we read this story about a master or a man that goes on a long journey and gives some stuff to his servants, would you hold in your mind that the master in this story is Jesus, and the servants in this story are you and me? So, I've already given you the introduction, which is verse 14. So let's move to verse 15. The Bible says, "To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." And depending on what version of the Bible you're looking at, you might find that your version talks about talents. In the Old Testament, talents was a unit of measurement for weighing precious metals like gold and silver. And in the New Testament, a talent was a value of money or a coin worth about 20 years' labour for a labourer, years' wages for a labourer. Now, Jesus is using money in this story, but this story is not really a story about money. You'll be pleased to know, because we talked about money last week. This story really is about responsibilities and the responsibilities that the master gives to his servants. What he's wanting us to understand is that the responsibility he passed on and delegated was worth an awful lot. Even more than a boss entrusting the management of his company to a trusted employee, or a brave parent giving their child the keys to their brand new car. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, if we look at the last few verses, Jesus says this, "So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've told you to do. You can be sure that I'll be with you always. I will continue to be with you until the end of time." So the responsibility that our Master Jesus is giving to us, his servants, is to continue his mission here on earth. He's trusting us to use our resources and our gifts and our abilities and to do everything that he asked his disciples to do. And I think that quite often we focus on the last bit of those verses. You know, I think sometimes we focus a bit on baptism and we focus a bit on teaching obedience, forgetting that the first thing he says that we're to do is to go and make followers. The first thing he says is you need to share your faith. The first thing he says is you need to be people that are inviting people to come and meet with me. You need to be people that are pointing others to me. We all too often go for the second half of that instruction and we forget our responsibility for the first. So taking Jesus' mission here on earth will include caring for the poor and the sick, and it will include feeding the hungry, and it will include being hospitable to outsiders, and it will include loving others, and it will include being an example to the world around us. But to what end? Our primary responsibility is to spread the gospel, making disciples to the end of the earth. Our primary responsibility is to share our faith in whatever ways we can so that other people come to know Jesus just as we know him. So are we doing this? Are we fulfilling this instruction that Jesus asks us to follow? Are we taking on board the responsibility that he has given to us? How are we investing our lives? Jesus continues in this parable to illustrate how the three servants respond to their responsibilities. In verse 16, we read, "The man who received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who'd received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." So the first two servants, they improved on what they'd been given. But in contrast, the third servant just pops it in a hole in the ground. And so the story continues, verse 19. "After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received five bags of gold brought the other five. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness.' Then the man with two bags of gold also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you've entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" Their master is really pleased with the first two servants. They did a good job. They've been faithful to the task that he gave them. And the reward for their loyalty is to be given greater responsibility and to receive a share in the master's joy. But then we come to the third servant, the one who dug a hole and put his bag of gold in it. Verse 24 says, "Then the man," excuse me, "who'd received one bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.'" If we look at the Message version of the Bible, we read that the servant says, "I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and I secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent." Now we have to recognize that this third servant is honest. He didn't run off with the money. He took what was given to him and he kept it safe. But he does nothing with it. And for me, there are two reasons that stand out in his response. Firstly, he quite simply doesn't have a very high view of his master. "You're a hard man to work for," he says. In the message, it says, "I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error." It seems like the third servant actually doesn't really like his master very much, doesn't it? It's not got a lot of good things to say about him. But the second thing that comes through is that he's afraid. Maybe afraid of getting it wrong. Is he afraid of incurring the master's criticism or anger? Maybe he's worried because he thinks that the master thinks the other two servants, the ones that got a bit more than him, are better than him. And the master doesn't really have very much confidence in him. He's so cautious about doing something with that money, he does nothing with it at all. And the chair of Starbucks Corporation is a lady called Melody Hobson. And she, when she's talking about investment risk, has said this: "The biggest risk of all is not taking one." And that's borne out in this story. Let's go to the end of the story, verse 26. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and I gather where I've not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I'd have received it back with interest. So take this bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw out that worthless servant outside." Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The servant who did something received more. The servant who did nothing had what he was given taken away from him. One day, Jesus is going to ask you, and he's going to ask me, "What did you do with the life I gave you? What did you do with the mission I entrusted you with? How did you invest your life?" You see, we can invest in our careers, we can invest in our hobbies and interests, we can invest in material stuff. But one day, Jesus is going to ask us to give an account of how and where we've invested our lives. And I wonder whether we, like that third servant, sometimes let fear get in the way of us undertaking the mission that Jesus has entrusted us with. I think fear often stops us talking to people about our faith, using what we have for his purposes. Sometimes this happens because we lack confidence. "I don't know how. I don't know how to share my faith. I don't know how to invite somebody to church. And yet I know there are people that are here because somebody invited you to come here." But we say, "I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to answer difficult questions. What if people ask me all those thorny issues about the Bible? I better actually keep quiet and leave it to somebody that's a five bag of gold person or a two." Fear, because we lack confidence, sometimes stops us taking the opportunities that are there in front of us. And fear sometimes stops us doing something with Jesus' mission because we're self-conscious. "What will people think if I talk about Jesus? Will it make things awkward if I throw a Christian view into the debate that's going on? How will people judge me when I don't live up to Jesus's ideal? Sometimes we're too self-conscious to share our faith. And fear also sometimes keeps us from doing something with the mission that Jesus has entrusted us with, because we get caught up in self-pity. Why would Jesus use my story? It's not that good. Why would Jesus be interested in a one bag kind of guy? You know? And anyway, my life's not very good at the moment, so why would Jesus use me? We get caught up in our own story, feeling sorry for ourselves, and we lose sight of the mission that Jesus has entrusted us with. And so many of our excuses are just simply rooted in our fears. Fear gets the better of us, and then we miss the opportunity. We don't want to, but it passes us by because we lack confidence, we're too self-conscious, or we get caught up in a bit of self-pity. All too often, whilst we don't want to be, we end up being a bit more like that third servant, even though we want to be like servant number one and servant number two. This is really tough, isn't it? This is a really tough story. You know, one thing about being on sabbatical was that I didn't get to choose what I came back to do. And so Paul gave me this one to talk on. And I think maybe it's a bit of a difficult one, but I want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you, because you have got a story to share, and it's worth sharing. You've got a story about how you became a Christian, and it might be 5 minutes ago, or it might be 55 years ago, or even longer ago than that, but you've got a story to share. And if you came to faith 55 years ago or more, you will have so many stories over those 55 years to share. Because God didn't stop working in your life when you just said, amen. You've got stories to share. You've got stories to share as to why you keep on with Jesus, particularly when your life probably isn't perfect. I know mine certainly isn't. But you've got a story to share as to why Jesus is bigger and better and greater than the life circumstances that you are or have gone through. You've got a story to share about how Jesus helps you day by day, in the ordinary things, the everyday, just maybe the peace that you get when you spend a few moments turning to him, or the deeper understanding you get about what's going on because you've opened your Bible this morning, or an extra layer of joy when after that storm this morning, I'm not a gardener, that storm this morning, the sun is shining. If you're a gardener, you're probably glad to see the rain. If you're an outdoorsy person and want to go running later, you're glad to see the sun. I'm neither. Something in between. You have a relationship with people that is unique. Nobody has the same relationship with the people you know than you have. And so you have got a story and a history of the way your life has interacted with your friends, your work colleagues, your neighbours. And so the opportunities that those unique relationships afford
are opportunities for you to share Jesus' mission that he's entrusted you and me with. I don't know the people that you know, but you know them. And that's why it's your mission and not mine. You've got a unique style of communication that can be used by God. Some people are direct. They say it like it is. They are straight down the line. But that's not the only way of talking to people about Jesus. God will use each and every one of us. We don't have to be dogmatic in our invitation or our witness. I was talking to somebody the other day who's in a really hard place, and they told me that they'd had a chance encounter with a stranger, and that stranger was just the person they needed to talk to or hear from in that moment. And all I said to them was, "What if that was God?" That's all I said to them. And I invited them to dare to believe that it just could be. All I did was to sow a seed. But I was doing something of the mission of God. I could have stayed quiet and said, "Oh, wasn't that lucky? Wasn't that wonderful? Oh, that's never happened to me." That would have been a very human response. But my mission and your mission is to sow seeds, to open up the possibilities in the opportunities that Jesus lays before you. And we can all be seed sowers, can't we? Even if you're not a good gardener like me. No, I'm a bad gardener, that's what I'm trying to say. We can all be seed sowers. So where might your opportunities to invite somebody to take a step towards Jesus be? We're only going to succeed if we're willing to take a risk. And we're only going to grow if we're willing to give it a go. C.S. Lewis writes, "It might be a hard thing for an egg to become a bird. It's a jolly sight harder for it to learn to fly while it's still an egg." We're like eggs today, and we must either be hatched or go bad. I really like C.S. Lewis. I know that this is a really tough message, but Jesus is a kind and a loving and a generous master. And we have the Holy Spirit living within us to help make us brave. We have the Holy Spirit within us to help us to overcome the fear that tempts us to bury that opportunity and what God has given and what has been entrusted to us. So, one practical opportunity that could be coming up in the not too distant future. I wasn't at the last church meeting, but I did look at the notes that were made, thank you very much, and I noticed from the discussions around Christmas that one or two groups, for anyone that wasn't in this strange thing called a church meeting, we gather the church together and we talk about church life, and we asked people how we could make Jesus known over Christmas or something like that. And we broke out into little discussion groups, and ideas were given and they were recorded, and then they have been passed on to people like Paul and myself and Ellen and the ministry team and the leadership to think about which of those ideas we can do something with. One of the things that came out from more than one group was, why do we print hundreds of leaflets that need to be posted through doors? Why don't we do personal invitations instead? If you suggested that, you know what I'm going to say next, don't you? Are you willing to make that personal invitation. And if you sat in that group and you went, oh, that's a really good idea, because we do, don't we, when we hear somebody else, well, I do anyway. If you said, yeah, I think that's definitely right, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Yeah. Are you willing to find somebody that you give that invitation to? And if you weren't at the church meeting, you're not off the hook, because now I've planted the idea. And you know what I'm going to say, don't you? We've all got the responsibility to make Jesus known. And it might be an invitation to a Christmas service. It might be something quite different. But what Jesus says is, don't be the person that leaves it to the 5 or the 2 bag of gold person. Don't be the servant with 1 bag who just buries it in the sand. So, will we embrace the mission of God today? In our workplaces, in our neighbourhoods, in our friendship groups, with the people that we drink coffee with, the people that we go for a run with. Will we remember the person who brought us to faith? And will we do something like them that brings somebody else into the kingdom of God? We're all the master's servants, and therefore we are all entrusted with this mission. So, I've got some bags of coins. They're not real coins. They're plastic. And I'm going to pass these out. Sorry for you at home, I'm disappearing. I'm going to ask you to take a coin, if you would, and then just pass the bags along. All right, if we can do that nice and quickly, that would be amazing. If you run out, if I can just ask you to pass those along your rows, and as we kind of, if you take one, pass it on, pass it around, so that we all have a chance to grab a coin. They are only plastic, I'm afraid. If I can ask you to take one, pass it on, and if you could leave me the bags with the coins afterwards, then that will be amazing, because you might well see them again. Has everyone got a coin? Oh, I missed out our wonderful worship leaders and worship group. I do apologise. So we've got a coin. Or we've got one coming anyway. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray now. And I'm hoping that you might say amen. And I'm hoping that you will take this coin and you will put it in your pocket or your bag or whatever. And you will take this as something to remind you that we all have a mission. And we have a choice. We can invest this coin in an invitation. We can invest this coin by responding about Jesus in a conversation. We can take this coin and use it to further God's mission, or we can bury it in the ground. And if you're anything like me, on a Sunday, you can hear a message, brilliant, in the middle, or one that didn't actually float your boat. Let's assume that occasionally they're brilliant. And we say yes on Sunday. And by Monday lunchtime, we've forgotten how yes excited we were. And so the reason for you taking this little bit of plastic, there is nothing special about it. It's a kid's coin. But it's a reminder. So if we say yes today here on Sunday, every time we find it, we will remember that we're called to be servants, entrusted with the mission of God. And if we've forgotten, or if we've let an opportunity go, it will bring us back to the point where we say, I choose to be a servant like the bag of gold person, or the 2 bag of gold. I don't want to be the one. So let's pray. Father God, we all sit and stand before you today feeling challenged because of what your word says. We feel challenged to speak your name in places where we don't know how your name is going to be received. Lord, we feel challenged to make that invitation because we don't know whether it will be accepted. Lord, we feel challenged because we know that none of us live up to your wonderful and glorious standards, and we fear being judged by those around us. We fear letting you down. And God, we want to say we're sorry when we let those fears get in the way. Lord, we've sung how great you are, and we're sorry that come Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, we just forget how great you are as our Master, as our Lord, and as our King. We're sorry. But we thank you, God, that you are a kind and a loving Master who always sees possibilities beyond any of the mistakes that we make. You always give us new opportunities despite the number of times we've blown it in the past. So God, we take our coin and we say thank you for investing your mission in us. And Lord, whatever we feel our ability to take that responsibility on is, God, would you help us to do the very best we can for your glory, because we want to see your kingdom here on earth grow. Thank you, Lord. Amen.